You know, there's a commercial I really like on television. I don't know if you remember it or maybe have even seen it. It's a Chevrolet commercial. It's about the sun rising and the rooster. He jumps up on this rail, fence rail, and he's about to do his morning duty. And however, when he opens his beak to crow up, there's no arousing cock-a-doodle-doo that comes out. Instead, a weak squawk-type thing comes out, pops out of his mouth. And the rooster tries for several times, but to no avail. Just this weak squawking type comes out. And all of a sudden, it's kind of a panic time for the rooster, because as he begins to see this big orange glow of the burning sun slowly start to rise over the horizon. And he starts to look around frantically all of a sudden, and finally he spies something across the barnyard, and he scurries over and open and hops into this open window of a Chevrolet Monte Carlo. And then he starts pounding his beak against the car horn, waking up everybody in the neighborhood to the sound of the honking of the car horn instead of the crowing. Well, I kind of found that commercial kind of funny. I mean, it was just kind of neat back in those days, kind of creative. But in a society, you know, today, we see warnings everywhere you look, something trying to wake us up. And warnings, or in the case of the rooster, alarms, annoying at times. But you find warnings on medicine bottles and food labels, of cigarette packages, everywhere you see. And have you ever noticed on those prescription drugs, they have more warnings about the product than how good the product will do to help you, about its benefits and uses? I know that whenever I get a prescription, I get this big long page that tells me all the side effects and things that can do to harm me. And I just kind of look at that thing, and I just kind of there's so much type on it that I just kind of lay it aside. But we even have warnings on cups of coffee we buy at fast food places, letting us know, because of some people don't apparently realize that it's hot coffee that you're indeed drinking, and it's hot. So we have to put warning labels on that to remind people that what you're drinking is hot. Because I guess apparently in the past there have been lawsuits and so forth. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Christian comedian Mark Lowry. He said that he wishes that all mothers had warning lights on the back of their heads. He said warning lights that start blinking 5 seconds before mom has had enough. He said, he said you can make a lot of tracks in 5 seconds if you see that thing go off. But these warnings tell us what to do and what not to do. I mean, don't you, if we had, it would be great if we had a signal, a warning signal before we said something or before we did something. I mean, don't you wish you had times a warning signal that did that? Don't you wish you had something that said, don't say that or don't do that before you did it and before you said it? It'd be kind of nice. I wonder if Peter felt that way after he denied Jesus that one day, if he had a warning signal that would go do that. Before Christ's death, before Jesus had died, Peter vowed, he said, Lord, I will die for you. But Jesus' answer to Peter was a warning that was found in our scripture today. As a matter of fact, let's just go there and read it. It's found in the book of Mark. In the book of Mark in the New Testament, Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, beginning with verse 66. Mark chapter 14, beginning with verse 66. And we'll read to the end of the chapter. It says, in Mark chapter 14, verse 66, it says, and Peter was below in the courtyard, and one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you too were with Jesus the Nazarene. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you're talking about. And he went out onto the porch. And the maid saw him and began once more to say by the bystanders, this is one of them. But again, he was denying it, and after a little while, while the bystanders were again saying to Peter, "Surely you're one of them, for you are a Galilean too." And they began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man you are talking about." And immediately a cock crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had made the remark to him, "Before a cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he began to weep. So in verse 72, Jesus tells Peter, "The rooster will not crow tomorrow morning until you have denied me three times that you even know me." Now it's amazing to me that Peter, the man of questions before, had none for Christ that day. Peter didn't even ask, he didn't even ask how or what do you mean, Jesus, or what can I do to prevent this? No, Peter's only response was, "No, I'm going to die first before I would do that." Now, Peter had been around Jesus for a good 3 years. He saw the miracles that Jesus had performed. He saw the power that Jesus had over the illnesses. He saw the nature that Jesus had power over, power to calm the storms. He saw the demons that Jesus had cast out of people. And even death itself, as you heard Pastor Adam preach, bringing forth Lazarus from the tomb. He had been there when Jesus had read people's minds and told them what they were thinking. And he had heard Jesus even pronounce what would happen in the future. Peter himself proclaimed in Matthew chapter 16:16, he said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." You would think that Peter would realize that Jesus knew what he was talking about. You would think that Peter would have taken Jesus' warning a little more seriously than what he would appear to have done. Take heed, watch out, Peter. But Christ's words to Peter went unheeded. I want us to meet a rooster. And the story behind the rooster goes something like this. As mentioned in our text, one day Jesus said, "Simon, you're going to deny me. Be careful when you say these words. I will never." Be careful. I would never. Be careful how you say never. Many of us have lived long enough to eat these words. Right? And then Jesus did something very strange. He pointed to a rooster. And he said, "You see that rooster?" "Yes, Lord," Peter says, kind of perplexed. He says, "Before that rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me." "Oh, Lord, that's not true. That's not going to happen." The Bible says he went right out, and within hours, they arrested Jesus. And they came, and they said, "You're one of them." Peter said, "I'm not one of those disciples." The Bible says the rooster crowed. Probably a little louder than that, but the rooster crowed. That's kind of funny. That's okay. I mean, that's kind of funny when you hear the rooster kind of crow like that. But the rooster crowed. It's just kind of crowed. Kind of funny. I mean, that God would use a rooster. It's really astonishing. But you have to understand, it wasn't funny to Simon Peter. And suddenly, conviction and condemnation and guilt and shame. Within a few hours, he would deny him again. And Then within a few more minutes, someone else would run out and accuse him. And the Bible said Simon Peter wept bitterly after that. When he heard that rooster, he was weeping and he was crying and he was broken. Just broken. And you see, I think a lot of times we think that's the end of the story concerning the rooster. But in my mind, I believe that every time he heard that rooster crow, something in him felt shame, and guilt, and condemnation. Something in him felt unworthy. Something in him felt conviction and condemnation. Something, every time he heard that rooster crow, he felt, oh my God, how could I have been so stupid? What was I thinking to do something so stupid? And every time, every morning, he would get up, and in the afternoon he would hear it, and every day he would hear it, and in my mind I could see it. One day he's saying to himself, I got to get out of this house. I've got to quit thinking about Jesus. I've got to erase from this memory how I denied him. And he goes in the city and he starts walking about the city and he's starting to feel better. He's starting to clear up his mind, breathing some fresh air. And he says to himself, this is the best I've felt in days. And he's walking and suddenly he looks over and he sees this rooster staring at him and it starts flapping its wings a little. And he cringes, and it's like he's on edge because he knows it's about to crow, but it doesn't crow. It doesn't crow. But he goes around with his guilt, and he goes around with his condemnation. And I could see him later on that day. He goes home to his family's house, and he sits down, and he eats a meal. And things just seem to be getting back to normal, and he feels much better. And I know I feel much better after I eat a meal. I know you have a lot of things weighing on your mind and you eat a good meal. Things seem to be getting better. I don't know if it has something to do with the blood up here from your mind goes down here to your stomach to digest your food. I don't know if that's the scientific nature of it, but that's the best I can come up with. Things just seem to go better when you have a good meal. But that's how Peter felt, and I can just see him as he goes outside. He's thinking to himself, he says, you know, I've got a great family. And while he's sitting there, probably picking his teeth with a toothpick or something, all of a sudden he hears this fluttering behind him, and he turns around, and the rooster's just staring at him, and he hears this sound again. And there he goes again, right back into the guilt, right back into the condemnation. Right back into that feeling of unworthiness and being reminded of the horrible mistake that he made. I could see Simon Peter day after day, maybe even on the third day after Jesus was crucified, somebody comes knocking at his door and says, Peter, come on, you've got to come to the tomb. Let's come on to the tomb. And so he comes out running and he goes to the tomb. And the tomb is empty and he sees something there looking supernatural, this angelic being. And the angel says, he's not here. He is risen. And Simon Peter comes out and he's rejoicing. He's rejoicing. He's alive. But in my mind, I can almost see right there next to that tomb on a rock, that rooster has been chasing him. While he's rejoicing, saying he's alive, all of a sudden he hears that. And the joy of the resurrection is overtaken by the crow of the rooster. And suddenly, he can't even shout. He can't even praise. He can't even lift his hands to the resurrected Savior because his mind is so filled, his ears are so filled with the crowing of that rooster and what it meant, the shame, the condemnation, the guilt, and the awful thing that he's done to his Lord, his Savior, his Master, Jesus Christ. But then all of a sudden, one of his disciples says, "Come on, Peter, we've got to go to the upper room." And I can see him as he gets in that upper room, and in Acts chapter 2 picks up the story, and the Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven. See, there's always going to be the sound from your past crowing in your ear, telling you how stupid, how guilty you are. There's always going to be the evidence of pain and trauma in your life that can bring you under it and back into that depression, back into that condemnation, and back into that dark, dark place. But when the sound of heaven filled Peter, and the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and there's something about the Holy Spirit that can break condemnation. There's something about the Holy Spirit that can break the past, that can break everything that the enemy whispers in your ear. And that's why every one of us needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. It fills you, and you hear a sound from heaven. You hear a sound from heaven that says, "Greater is the sound of heaven than the sound of the crowing of the rooster." And that day, Simon Peter stepped out on the streets of Jerusalem, and people gathered by the hundreds and by the thousands. And the Bible says that he stood there, and he was about to preach his first sermon and get 3,000 people saved. But before he could preach it, I can just picture that rooster was sent by the devil. And I can almost see the rooster up in the window somewhere, maybe even up by the upper room. And just when he's about to preach, just when he's about to feel good, and just when he's feeling forgiven, and just when he's feeling like, "I finally have put my past behind me," he hears the crow of the rooster. But this time, something's different. This time, is "He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world." This time he's found a name that can give you victory over sin, and victory over guilt, and victory over condemnation, and victory over that awful thing that you've done that keeps crowing in your mind. And he preached. And on the day of Pentecost, you can read his sermon in 1 minute. And he preached and got 3,000 souls saved. And the story of the rooster is this. This is where the enemy wants you to live. He wants to keep pulling you. The spirit of depression is coming on strong, and many people today come to church and feel the presence of God, and they go out and have fun with their family, and they have fun with their friends and enjoy life, but then they open the door and there it is. They go right back into that depression, and they get all discouraged, and they become all down feeling, and the enemy fills your mind with depression. And if it's not that, you start hearing the crowing of the rooster telling you how sorry you are, how unworthy you are, how sinful you are. How could you commit adultery? How could you do this? How could you do that? How could you go out and lose your virginity? How could you do this? The crowing of the rooster would keep on as the accuser of the brethren, and as mentioned in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And he is accusing us day and night, and the enemy wants to keep you there and hold you there. Because as long as he's got you looking at depression and listening to the past, he's got you right where he wants you. But when the sound of heaven fills you, That's what changes things, and that's what will make a difference in you as a believer and as a disciple of Christ. The light will begin to shine in you, and hope will fill your life. And you will allow the wind of the Spirit to blow freely in your life as you open the windows to your soul and let God fill you. You'll have a reason to rejoice and a reason to sing and a reason to celebrate the risen Savior. And at first, the more you celebrate and the more you praise, the more the rooster will crow. The more you hear it, the more you will hear him crow. But once you stand on that faith of yours and realize you're covered by the cleansed blood of Jesus Christ, you can stand strong and say with boldness, "Crow, rooster, crow. Crow, rooster, crow. I'm standing on the faith of Jesus Christ." You've got to get that in your spirit. You've got to get that in your heart. Because God can still use you. God can still bless you. There's a name that's greater than shame. There's a name that's greater than condemnation and guilt. Some of you may be here today that the enemy's been whispering something in your mind over your head, and he holds it. And he keeps it over your head. You come to church. You come here to get blessed. And you're feeling better about yourself. You're feeling better about your life and about your future. And as sure as the world, you get back home or wherever you go and you start hearing the rooster crow. And you start feeling pain and depression and hopelessness and despair. And God brought you here today because He wants you to take authority over that depression. Life is too short to waste it living days and hours and months and years of regret and shame. And we can't change it, you know. If we could change things, we'd change it. But you know, life is sometimes just what it is. Sometimes you just have to play with the cards that you're dealt with. But Scripture says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, "Be ye not sorrowful, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And in life, there's going to be problems. And in life, there's going to be huge failures. In life. And you can sit there and say, "Well, if I just done that, if I just did this, if I just changed that," and it will absolutely take the joy out of your life. And if that's not bad enough, you start hearing the crow of the rooster in your ear. You're not good. You're pathetic. You're not a good father. You're not a good husband. You're a horrible mother. You're not a good Christian. You're not a good provider. You're not a good... That's what it'll tell you. The rooster will crow until he drives you crazy. Because Satan loves to depress God's people. And what you have to understand is this. There's a road in life and stuff just happens. To put it nicely. We have no control, really. And there are the roosters of our past. But because of Jesus, there's redemption. Because of Jesus, there's a resurrection. And if you're in this room today and you're not right with God and you know it, God brought you here today to this service. If you're here today and you're running from the rooster, today is your day to take control. Today is your day to take control of the rooster. Today is your day to take the rooster and turn him into dinner. I had fun with this. I went up to the counter and I said, "I want some fried rooster." And poor teenage girl looked at me and said, "I don't know if we have any of those." I said, "What do you mean? I just want some fried rooster." I said, "We have some fried chicken. But I don't know about rooster." I said, "Well, She said, do I need to call my manager or anything? I said, no, just go ahead and give me what you got up there. That'll be fine. Bless her little heart. I didn't mean to confuse her. But you can take control of the rooster today and turn him into dinner instead of that crowing in your ear. Because if you're here today running from the rooster, today's your day to take control of it. So that you might know whatever the enemy's holding over your head, telling you, you're just a huge failure. That's what he told Simon Peter. You're just a huge failure. And that's what he's telling you, many of you in this room, that you just goofed up. But today is your day to take control of that. Watch this. On the banks of the same lake where Peter had one of his biggest failures, where he started sinking in front of Jesus when he was trying to walk on the water, several months later, Jesus gave Peter his greatest commission. He said, feed my sheep. And I want to say to somebody today who's listening right now, you need not to back off just because you failed at a place. You may find that you get your highest commission on the banks of your greatest failure. Because many times God will let us go through a season of terrible hurt and terrible pain, but out of the banks of your greatest failure will come your greatest commission and your greatest calling and your greatest anointing. And there's something, this is something worth writing down and remembering, that if you take failure personally, then you're going to take success personally. So learn to give your failures and your successes to God. And you can't necessarily always go back and make a new start, but you can start over now and make a brand new end. Because there's a sound from heaven that's going to fill you today and change your life, to wash away your past, and it calls you to become pure and forgiven and cleansed. Because many of you and many people have been running from the rooster for years, just cowering and cringing every time you see him and hear that nasty echo in your soul. And you may be having the time of your life for weeks and months, but then one day you happen upon that old rooster and he shows up and he's on that rock. Sometimes he crows and sometimes he just ruffles his feathers just to give you the chilly willies. And if you're in this room today and you're saying, Pastor, you're preaching to me, I'm just not living right. I know I'm not living right. I don't like the crowing of the rooster of guilt. And I'm tired of carrying the shame in my life. I live one way and I do another and I'm just ready to sell out. I'm ready to sell out to Jesus and stop denying Him, to surrender to Him, to love Him and praise Him with a whole heart. Pray for me. Pray for me. I need Jesus in my life. If that's you, I invite you to join me in the prayer in a moment that'll change your life. But some of you may just need to come outside and face the rooster. You've been hiding in depression. The enemy has you trapped in this deep, dark place. And today is your day to come up and take control over that nasty darkness. Will you do it? Now is the time. Now is the time, just as Peter did when he heard that sound from heaven. Just as Peter did when he heard the sound of heaven. So as we all stand to our feet now, as the worship team makes their way to the stage and our counselors make their way to the front, don't talk yourself out of this special invitation time. This is your service. This is your moment. God brought you here. God brought you here to become forgiven. God brought you here to take authority, to be cleansed, to know what it is, to be able to say in Romans 8:1, therefore now is no condemnation. No condemnation. So I'd like to pray a prayer of those who have you decided to surrender your life to Christ if you've never done this before. And everybody, if you would, please pray this prayer aloud with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for the cross. Your blood cleanses me from all sin. And right now, please forgive me of my sins. Replace my filthy, stained robe with a beautiful white garment. I invite you into my heart to live in and through me as my Lord and my Savior. I'm pure again. I'm clean again. I am forgiven. In the name of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we'd love to hear about it, and our counselors would love here to rejoice with you. The Bible says that if you confess Jesus with your mouth before me, you shall be saved. And if you're here today, maybe in need of prayer, of healing or intercession for maybe for a loved one, our prayer counselors are here today. Maybe you're here to take authority over depression, or maybe just to get rid of that rooster that's just been crowing incessantly in your ear. Today's your day. Don't hesitate. Come today as the Spirit leads you in your life. Whatever the Spirit's leading you today, this is your time and this is your service. Don't talk yourself out of it. Make it special as the Spirit leads you and as we sing.